Now, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, at the podium.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the 7th pick to the Buffalo Bills. With the 7th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Tre'Davious White, defensive back, LSU.
Jermaine Edmonds, linebacker, Virginia Tech.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. It's Wednesday here on the podcast, which means one thing, and that it's Water Cooler Wednesday. And with the NFL Draft just a week away, a week from tomorrow, you're going to know who the Bills pick with the number 9 overall selection. And I got the right guy on the hopper today, Chris Trapasso, CBS NFL Draft writer, also very well-versed on the Buffalo Bills. And so I think we got the right pairing together here on the podcast to talk about the Bills and specifically that number 9 overall pick. Chris, thanks for joining me and welcome.
Joe, thanks for having me. And yeah, we've been tweeting about the Bills for seemingly, 7 or 8 years on Twitter. So to get onto a podcast to talk draft, which is our specialty, and the Bills, which is our other specialty, is perfect.
Yes, yes. This is the right duo, I think. we'll see. We have different viewpoints on a lot of players, and so that's sure. Why I think it's going to be really good for you and I to kind of hash this through, because I'm thinking there's going to be some directions that you're happy with at 9 that I wouldn't be, and we'll give it to the people real honest here.
Okay, sounds good.
So what we've done, Chris and I, is we've independently come up with a list of names that we want to pitch to the other person and get their reaction as if this were the Bills' actual draft pick. So we're going to save you the unlikely possibilities and get into some of maybe the more controversial possibilities. At least that's what I have prepared with the names I brought to the table. And this will be fun to kind of get some live reaction and dig into the players we're kind of anticipating being in the mix at number 9. So without further ado, Chris, are you ready to roll?
I'm ready.
All right. I'll give you the first one here. With the 9th pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle, Clemson.
I'm a little underwhelmed with this pick just because I like Christian Wilkins as a player. I think he certainly brings a lot off the field. He's a high character guy, tons of experience. Do I think he is the perfect type of defensive tackle for the modern NFL? Well, not really. It wasn't really until this past season as a 23-year-old senior that he really took a sizable step forward as a pass rusher. Didn't test very well at the combine. I mean, he is a bigger guy, 6'3", 315. He can play multiple roles, but with Kyle Williams retiring, they need someone that can get up the field and can be a dominant pass rusher. I think Christian Wilkins will be a solid pro. He'll play for a decade, and the team that picks him will be happy with the pick, but I don't know if the Bills inside the top 10 are getting the best value here, short-term and long-term, with someone in Christian Wilkins that's probably better as just a well-rounded prospect than someone that can be a trump card player in terms of being a pass rusher.
I think that's a fair point. I think that Bean and McDermott are going to love, or they probably do love, Christian Wilkins just because he's a really high character guy, both on the field, off the field, very accomplished. He's a senior, done a lot for that program. So for those reasons, I really kind of believe he's somebody that they would be interested in. But I kind of agree with you to an extent with, like, is this your top 10 type value? Is he going to give you that type of returns where he's that much of a difference maker at the next level? Now, you've talked a lot on Twitter actually yesterday. This kind of caught my eye because we've kind of spoke the same language here with, Bean and McDermott are going to try to replicate a lot of the things that made them successful in Carolina. Let's face it. That's the reason they have the jobs they have today, is because of the success they had with the Carolina Panthers. And so replicating those same ingredients, we've seen Cam Newton's a very Josh Allen's a very Cam Newton like player. Tremaine Edmonds having a big time player in the middle of the defense. They've even had some of the players, right? That every single Carolina Panthers player that's become available has been an option for the Bills, or they've signed them. And so I can see, the one thing that they really haven't recreated. Well, not the one thing. There's a couple of things. One thing is that Kawan Short role, who's a very important player on that defense. And so it's trying to figure out which player they think can be the Kawan Short for them. And so Christian Wilkins, maybe, but maybe there's some other options as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't really think that Christian Wilkins is a Kawan Short type of player. He was a little more undersized coming out of Purdue, really had a reputation as a really good pass rusher. So I wouldn't think if they were trying to replicate, and I totally agree with you that they are trying to kind of replicate what they had in Carolina, Christian Wilkins would not be the best return on value or on investment, and just wouldn't be a Kawan Short replication in Buffalo.
All right, I'm ready for your first one.
All right, with the 9th overall pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Juwan Taylor, tackle, Florida.
All right, Chris, so here's the thing with me and this offensive tackle thing with the Bills at number 9. If it's going to be an offensive tackle, God, I hope it's Juwan Taylor, because I think he's the best one in the class. For me, though, here's the deal. Like, I think that the Bills have done so much. 6 unrestricted free agents signed for this offensive line to add to, I guess, you know, Wyatt Teller, Deion Dawkins really being the quality players that exist. You know, there's others, but, you know, the Dukases of the world and the Bodines of the world aren't really moving the needle for me. But I feel like the Bills have done so much for this offensive line that going in that direction to me at number 9 is just overkill. And the one guy that I could get behind is Juwan Taylor, because I do think he's the best offensive lineman in the class. I do think that he gives you multifaceted ability in terms of making blocks on the move, pass protection, and run blocking. He's a prototype type in terms of size. He's gotten better every year at Florida, really peaked this past season, and he's battle tested against the best pass rushers, you know, we're going to talk about in this year's draft. So if the Bills go offensive line, which I sort of hope they don't, if they do, I would want it to be Juwan Taylor.
Yeah, I would say so far we're pretty much on the same page, because I would be impressed with this pick, but a little leery, not because of Juwan Taylor, but because of a lot of what you just said, that yes, you know, long-term, I think it would make sense. I mean, Ty Inseki at 33 years old, even if he is penciled in at the right tackle spot, either tackle spot, it's obviously not going to be around for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now, when Juwan Taylor could be a right tackle for the next decade in Buffalo. I just don't know if it's the biggest need. And I know where, you know, it does make sense to go best player available, especially when you're picking inside the top 10. It clearly shows that you do have some needs and you have a ways to go. I like Juwan Taylor, like you said, run blocking. I think he's a little further ahead in that regard than he is as a pass blocker, but I love that he was under 315 pounds of the combine. People thought maybe he was going to have some weight problems, didn't have those. Yes, he's gotten better. I loved his battle against Josh Allen, who's going to go in the top 3. I just thought that was a heavyweight fight that Juwan Taylor held up very well in that game against Kentucky. But you're right. I don't know if it's a biggest need for a team that's added 6 offensive linemen in free agency.
Yeah, not that I don't want to go away from the best player available, but I think there will be a similarly rated player at a position of greater need for the Bills.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's hitting the nail on the head.
All right, next one for you. With the 9th overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select DK Metcalf, wide receiver, Ole Miss.
I'm fascinated by this pick. I know, and this is kind of teeing you up to not agree with me here, which I think is very healthy and it's good. I like DK Metcalf. I don't love DK Metcalf, especially in this class, but I'm fascinated because, and I think we look at quarterbacks having to fall into the right fit, the right system, right offensive coordinator, coach. I think for a wide receiver like Metcalf, he needs to land in the right system. And I'm fascinated because Buffalo would be perfect for him. They would presumably not ask him to run an intricate route tree where he'd have to, you know, change directions a lot. I know that's a kind of a big concern after those slower agility times at the combine. Getting downfield and at almost 6'4 and 228 pounds, 4.33 speed, just blew up everything in terms of running in a straight line, jumping in a straight line. Great, perfect fit for Josh Allen. And still, I think wide receiver is a big need on this team. They added Cole Beasley. They added John Brown. They loved what they got from Robert Foster down the stretch. I still think they need that big body receiver. So I'm fascinated because there are other wide receivers who I like more than DK Metcalf and think are more NFL ready, but the fit just would fascinate me at number 9 overall.
Now, Chris, the people have heard me talk about DK Metcalf at length on this podcast, so I want to give you the floor here. I like that you did mention that he's the, in terms of fit, it really does make a lot of sense in terms of how the Bills attack defenses and how Metcalf most effectively attacks defense. Mm-hmm. I know that you've always been like team big receiver. You know,
I've loved it with
for a long time, and I almost know every time we've got a size receiver, Chris is going to love that guy. What is it about DK in a vacuum, not talking specifically about the Bills, that a guy that gravitates towards bigger receivers is a guy that you're not quite drinking all the Kool-Aid like I am?
Yeah, and I think it really starts with the fact that at Ole Miss, he and A.J. Brown and DeMarcus Lodge really weren't asked to run a variety of routes. I think that's kind of the trend that, you know, there are a lot of wide receivers in a lot of productive offenses in college that aren't running these, you know, traditional quote unquote route trees, or NFL route trees. So I still think that's a little bit of a concern, and really just the fact that I love this wide receiver class. And there are guys like JJ Arcega-Whiteside, N'Keal Harry, Hakeem Butler that are also big wide receivers that can win in the red zone, that are, you know, possession guys that are good down the field as well, that all tested pretty well at the combine. Certainly not 4.33. And, you know, having a crazy vertical jump, broad jump like DK Metcalf had, but it's really more about the receiver class than Metcalf himself. I have him as a first round grade and a first round prospect. So just looking at my board, it would technically be a reach, but again, at 9 with what the Bills want to do, like you mentioned, getting vertical, tapping into Josh Allen's arm strength and just scaring the hell out of teams with Robert Foster on one side and DK Metcalf on the other, I think that in itself would be an awesome fit in Buffalo.
Chris, I really like that you mentioned the strength of this wide receiver class, and you named some names there that I think at least one or two or more could be available at number 40. And so this kind of goes back to that idea that you can address another need at number 9 and still get that big bodied receiver that can help you in similar ways to DK Metcalf at number 40. So I think that's another good point in terms of, it's okay if you don't get DK Metcalf at 9. You can get a defensive lineman that will help your team, and then get JJ Arcega-Whiteside at number 40. And is that much of a drop off? So, good point there. And I'm ready for your next one, sir.
All right, with the 9th overall pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Montez Sweat, edge rusher, Mississippi State.
You know, there was a time here where I really believed Montez Sweat was going to be like, for sure on the Bills' radar, especially because he was a senior, went to the Senior Bowl. He's a prototype in terms of size and athletic ability, productive football player, kind of met all those things that we've learned about the Bills and what they gravitate towards and, you know, their premium investments. And so I did a little digging on this Michigan State situation where he was, you know, kind of suspended and then left the team. And the stuff that I learned there was kind of concerning to me. Like, I feel like that it didn't scream Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, Buffalo Bills player. And then I was reminded of John Abram, who is a safety over there at Mississippi State. And he was asked about his teammates at Mississippi State, because they've got several defensive players that are going to get drafted. And he commented on Jamal Peters and he commented on Jeffrey Simmons. And then when he got to Montez Sweat, he said, Montez is kind of quiet. I don't know, man. I'm looking into the wrong stuff here. Because I think every other reason in the world outside of what I learned about this man 5 years ago and the comments by John Abram, everything else about it in terms of the need at defensive end and the type of player that he is makes sense for the Bills at number 9. But I'm starting to think twice about this, and I'm starting to think that he won't be a Bills target. Now, with that said, let's kind of strip ourselves of that. Yes, he fits a need for the Bills at number 9. I do have concerns about him being a little tight. And, you know, that flexibility is really needed to win around the outside hip of offensive tackles at the next level. But he gives you really good ability to stop the run. And he has an athletic skill set that is pretty much unmatched. And, you know, you feel like you can cultivate his play strength and his hand technique to overcome some of those issues with cornering. So I get it. I wouldn't be that excited because I think there's going to be other players that are like more. But I'm starting to think that he might not be as much of an option as we once thought.
Yeah, and I think that last point and certainly other points were very good. I didn't catch that John Abram interview, which is really interesting. And I think it's important to kind of do some deep digging. I'm sure the Bills looked into that Michigan State fiasco and have probably talked to a lot of coaches and players at Mississippi State to kind of gauge the type of person Montez Sweat is. I think strengthening a strength is kind of what, like, how I would view this pick, that the Bills, that actually last year for the Buffalo News, when I was writing for that, I tracked pressure rates. I used Pro Football Focus, just every team pressure or every defensive pressure that a defense got on a quarterback, tracked the entire thing. The Bills actually finished sixth in defensive pressure rate last year. 37.1% of the time they faced a dropback, they got some type of pressure, whether it be just a hurry, a hit, or a sack. But Trent Murphy was invisible. Shaq Lawson has really just been a run stopper. And you have Jerry Hughes, still super productive, but older. And to your last point, I agree. It seems like we're kind of ramping up to Montez Sweat maybe going number four overall to the Oakland Raiders. Maybe one of those other teams that I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a team that haven't really been talked about that could pick an edge rusher. They have Ryan Nassib. They have Noah Spence. They have Jason Pierre-Paul, but not really a great collection of edge rushers. They could pick him there. He might not be available. And if he is, I do agree with you. There's probably going to be other players that I have rated a little bit higher that the Bills probably do as well, at bigger positions of need, defensive tackle, wide receiver. So I would like to pick, but I would feel similarly to you. I wouldn't be jumping up and down and think it was a, you know, home run of a selection. On the field, though, a lot to like about him. And I do agree, stiffness is a bit of a problem. Doesn't necessarily play to that second time in the three cone drill that he ran at the combine and not to that level of athleticism. But I think with Sean McDermott, I mean, we've seen scheme pressure very well and get the most out of his defensive lineman. I think Sweat would be a good player in Buffalo if they pick him at number nine.
Any night, rather every night, is pizza night at Picasso's. With four locations across Western New York, Picasso's is never far away and always delicious. Locally owned, this handmade pizza grabs your taste buds and never lets them go until the last bite. Make sure you check out the menu and order online. Just head to picassospizza.net. Picasso's, we are Buffalo Pizza. We'll be right back after this to get into a handful of more options for the Bills at number nine. All right, Chris, let's get to a few more here. With the ninth overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Andre Dillard, offensive tackle from Washington State.
To me, this just screams return on investment. And I kind of talked about that earlier with Jawan Taylor. Is it a huge need? No. Is there a chance he's the best available player at number nine? I think so. I think if Ed Oliver's gone, the edge rushers are gone. Maybe if DK Metcalf, if team trades up to get him, just loves that size and speed combination. It would be a good return on investment because I think Andre Dillard is going to be a good pro for a long time. The fit, though, is a little strange. I love him as a pass protector, and I think, obviously, that's why he's being kind of touted as, you know, on some teams' boards, maybe the number one tackle, just because the league is pass happy and becoming kind of pass obsessed. Is that really what the Bills want to do, though? I think Sean McDermott and Brandon, the roots in Carolina, they ran the football a lot with Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams. I think the Bills still want to stay relatively run heavy. So I think Dillard, for as good as he is, for his, you know, as much experience as he had, almost 1,000 pass blocking reps at Washington State, we don't really know how good he can be or how good he is right now as a run blocker. I would like the return on investment more so than maybe some other spots with Andre Dillard because of the pass protection prowess. But I don't know if it's what the Bills would ultimately do and be the really would be that good of a fit in Buffalo.
See, I kind of liken this to the comments you made about Christian Wilkins. Like, I get it. Andre Dillard's probably going to be a good pass-blocking left tackle. Dude's never fired off the ball one time in 4 years at Washington State.
Exactly.
In the run game. And who's the best pass rusher he faced in the Pac-12? Justin Hollins?
Yeah, probably.
Jalen Jones? Are those the best guys? You know, so I have my concerns with Dillard. I get it from the perspective of, like, hey, the most important thing you can do for your young quarterback is protect them. And he might be the best pass protector in the class. So I'd get it from that perspective. I don't know, man. I just don't see that. I don't think we're going to be talking about Andre Dillard in the same token as we do, you know, guys like Trent Williams or Tyron Smith as, you know, the elite tackles in the NFL. So that's my take there. I guess it's my turn to get one from you.
Yeah, with the ninth overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Jonah Williams, offensive lineman, Alabama.
Chris, this is kind of the player I'm starting to believe the Bills are going to draft. Like, if I had to predict somebody right now, it feels like it's Jonah Williams, man. I remember when I listened to his declaration speech, you know, Alabama does this kind of cool thing where the guys that declare, they put them, you know, Nick Saban recognizes them and they do a kind of a press conference style thing. And they make a statement. And I watched Jonah Williams and he's sitting there thinking like every single player in person and, you know, within the entire Alabama organization, just, you know, the cafeteria workers and the equipment people, every single person. And it just screams process guy, right? Like, you know, that they're going to want that mentality, that type of fit for their culture. And so that, you know, you go with the Dable thing, right? I mean, obviously a year with him, they know exactly who he is as a person. I mean, he's a really good offensive tackle. Like, I think he's worth the top 15 pick. Is he going to play left or right tackle? How does he fit with the Bills? Is it at guard? You know, those questions still remain. And I certainly wish that he didn't get outreached so often on film, but everything else about his game is so clean. Really good power, really good ability to stay square, takes good steps. All his footwork's really clean. You just love all that type of stuff. But you know, when guys get into his frame, that anchor gets compromised a little bit, and you see him give some ground. And so that's kind of concerning, especially projecting him to blocking the NFL edge rushers. So I have some questions about it. I'm kind of getting myself ready for it, because I kind of believe that's going to be what the Bills are going to take. But again, I kind of back what I talked about with Juwan Taylor. I'm really not about offensive line at nine, given what the Bills did this offseason.
Yeah, and I think outside of the Senior Bowl, just the fact that he wasn't there, he's not a senior, you're right. He screams process. And everything from, like you mentioned with the press conference when he came out and wanted to join the NFL draft, to everything at the combine that he talked about, how, you know, prepared he was to face different pass rushers. He has, you know, he's not only good physically, but the mental side for him, I think, is way further ahead than most 21-year-old offensive linemen coming into the NFL. And yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of on the same page. Juwan Taylor, Andre Dillard, Jonah Williams. I do agree with you too that he, to me, is one of the top two likeliest picks at number nine. And I think he's a tackle, whether it be right or left. I mean, his freshman season, that 2016 film at right tackle, I thought was even better than what he was in 2017, his first year at left tackle. So I think that adds some intrigue, the fact that they could just plug him into guard probably. Maybe after a little bit of a learning curve, he would just be a really good guard, and the Bills are not as set at that spot. I think guys like John Feliciano, Spencer Long, are more depth backup short-term starters than long-term starters. There's going to be way more competition there, which is really good for the Bills. But I think they would, if they picked Jonah Williams, they'd be like, listen, if he's not going to play left tackle or right tackle right away, we could start him at guard, kick him outside after Nsekhe's done. So yeah, I think there's a good chance. I think Brian Dable is probably pounding the table starting like right now, a week out from the draft, if he hasn't already. But I agree. And I don't think it's the biggest need. Great player. I really like him a lot, but is that the biggest need? Would that be the best, not necessarily return on investment, but the best use of the Bills' number nine overall pick? Probably not.
You know, you said something there that piqued my interest, and maybe the silver lining with the idea of an offensive lineman at number nine is just simply that, is there any long-term starters besides Mitch Morse on this unit? And maybe that's what it comes down to. I mean, everybody's signed through next season that matters, right? So they have at least 2 years with everybody that matters, I believe. But, you know, Deion Dawkins, he's created some doubt with how we performed last year. Wyatt Teller didn't necessarily take the world by fire when he got inserted into the lineup. And so maybe it's just about, hey, we're okay, but long term, we want to make sure we're also not just okay, we have a really good unit in front of Josh Allen. So maybe that's kind of that silver lining with the offensive line direction.
Yep, definitely.
All right. I owe you one now. Here we go.
Yes.
With the ninth overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select Ed Oliver, defensive tackle, Houston.
I am elated with this pick. Do I think the NFL, you know, is not even trending toward it? It is an offensive league and the Bills need receivers. Yes. Would this be the best match of value and positional need? I think so. This would be the best player available at the biggest position of need, I think, on the Bills roster. So if you're the GM, if you're Brandon Bean, you have to be just elated with this pick, ecstatic, whatever word you want to use. Ed Oliver, not Aaron Donald. I compared him to John Randall. I'm not going to pretend like I scouted John Randall when he came out in the 80s, but I do remember watching him in Minnesota with the Vikings, smaller guy, guy. They didn't really know what to do with him. Insane first step. That's what you get with Ed Oliver. You get a high motor. Maybe there's not really anything that shows that he's a process guy coming out early. Nothing really that stands out in terms of his character. There's not really anything that, you know, shows that he has bad character. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about Christian Wilkins here. But in terms of just plugging him into Kyle Williams' spot, he's starting there day one. They can get between 6 to 10 sacks from him a season, a ton of pressures, and a great run defender. He proved that since his freshman season. And really this past year at Houston showed that he was able to kind of improve his pass rushing moves and create more pressure on the quarterback.
I'm with you, Chris. I mean, you think about this Bills team and the starting lineup in the one spot that you feel like maybe you don't got the best guy, right? Is that three tech spot opposite of Star Lotulelei. I mean, Jordan Phillips, Harrison Phillips are fine rotational players. I don't think they're preferred starters. And so you got a chance to really upgrade this spot with a premier talent. I mean, when the odds came out for the number one pick in the draft, when they first came out, the guy that had the highest odds to be the number one pick in the draft was Ed Oliver. And mm-hmm. he didn't get worse at football. You know, he did not get worse at
better.
Football.
He got so, better at football, I think.
So, yeah, I'm with you. That would get me going in a good way. Let's get to the last one here and maybe get to a couple other talking points.
Sure. With the 9th overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select TJ Hockenson, tight end, Iowa.
You know, I'm warming up to it, Chris. I think that TJ Hockenson has Pro Bowl potential at tight end. And so you think about giving Josh Allen that type of player would be great for him starting in year two. We talked at the beginning about, you know, replicating things that made Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean successful in Carolina, and Greg Olsen cannot be overlooked in that discussion. Actually, Sean McDermott at the league meetings, he was asked about the value of a young tight end or a good quality tight end for a quarterback. He said, hey, in Carolina, when we were facing a 3rd and 5 and we had Greg Olsen, I didn't mind because I knew we were going to get a first down because we had Greg Olsen, you know, and I thought that really said a lot. So, you know, if you can really get a chain mover and a guy like TJ Hockenson is not just a chain mover or a safety valve, it's a guy that can stretch the field down the seam. He can win after the catch. He's a very aggressive blocker. I mean, he gives you that George Kittle, Travis Kelce type ability. And so I can get on board with it for all of those reasons, but then also because it means the Bills didn't draft an offensive lineman. So I think there's a lot of reasons why I can get behind this. And if the Bills go tight end in the top 10, TJ Hockenson's a guy that's worth it to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fun player. I would be a little skeptical of it just because looking at the history of tight ends going inside the top 10 and does that necessarily factor in, or should that factor in, you know, what other teams have done with other prospects? Maybe not. But I do agree with you that, you know, the Greg Olsen comparison, just with the philosophy of what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean want to do and want to give Josh Allen. I said earlier that Jonah Williams is one of the top two most likely picks for the Bills at number 9. This is my other guy. I just think, you know, not a Senior Bowl guy. Nothing, you know, really red flaggy about his character, but I think he seems like a processy guy. I mean, really an Iowa tight end, blue collar. I mean, that's about as blue collar as you get in terms of being a prospect. Just be a little skeptical because I think for as dynamic of a blocker as he is in space, I still think he needs to get a little bit stronger dealing with, you know, defensive ends and outside linebackers in line at the NFL level. And had great explosiveness at the combine. I think it's vertical, 37 inches, pretty close to 40, which is awesome for a tight end. Ran 4.7, though. I was a little surprised at that. Not slow, but picking a tight end inside the top 10 who runs 4.7 is not something that should totally make that a non-starter, but that's a little bit of a red flag to me. I do think that Hockenson does have George Kittle ability. That was my comparison for him. And I think just with what the Bills have are trying to do, like you've been saying, replicating what they had in Carolina and Buffalo, this is someone that I think will probably be there unless maybe the Lions pick him one selection in front of Buffalo. So I think this is another guy that Bills fans should kind of get ready to hear that name on Thursday.
Chris, what aren't we thinking about? What's the realistic things that we're just not talking about? I mean, is Devin White in play? Is Noah Fant an option? Is Cody Ford a player we should talk more about? What about Hollywood Brown? Like, Is there some kind of like way out in left field thing that you think is a somewhat realistic possibility that we should be prepared for?
I don't think Devin White. I don't think Hollywood Brown, just because of the size and the fact that with the injuries, he wasn't able to run. We don't really, I mean, I'm sure he would have ran pretty fast, but we don't know. We don't have that 4.22 that John Ross had 2 years ago on his resume. And just with the size that Brandon Bean had at receiver in Carolina, I'd be surprised if they picked Hollywood Brown inside the top 10. Corner to me is a little interesting. I do get a sense that Sean McDermott believes that he can get the most out of lesser corners. They re-signed EJ Gaines. They got good contributions from Levi Wallace last year, undrafted free agent from Alabama. They signed Kevin Johnson, who has a background with their new secondary coach, John. But I don't think corner is out of the realm of possibility. Is DeAndre Baker an option? I think he's a lot like Tre'Davious White, not, you know, physically going to blow you away, but just stays in the hip pocket of the receivers, good ball skills, 3 years of just high-level production in the SEC at a big program. So to me, it's corner, and I really, outside of offensive lineman, defensive lineman, receiver, and then you kind of throw TJ Hockenson into that pass-catching options, I don't really know what other position the Bills could pick. So I'll go corner, but I still think it's a pretty big long shot that they end up going in that direction at number 9.
Last thing for you, Chris, before we end here today. I've done the math. Well, I didn't do the math. I looked up a chart that did the math for me. The Bills could trade 40 and 73, their second and third round picks, and the value of those two picks, according to the draft trade value charts, gets you to about 25. You on board with this idea?
Not really. I am. I mean, you and I both watch a lot of film, have our prospect rankings, big boards, and you can see in doing this every year how you can fall in love with a certain prospect. You can see how a GM or all GMs across the league, directors of college scouting, would want to trade up. Hey, this guy who's my number 7 overall player is still available at number 25. So I understand why it happens. After trading up twice last year in the first round to get two foundational pieces in Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds, I wouldn't be the biggest fan of the Bills doing that again. I still firmly believe, you know, having as many roles at the table matters a lot. Bill Belichick is not a great drafter in terms of hitting on draft picks, but he's made the most draft picks over the past 10 years. He understands that he's not going to be even close to perfect or really even close to 50%. Most teams hit on about 25 to 40% of their draft picks. So because of that, I wouldn't be on board. I mean, if you could tell me who'd be available, I think that'd be different. But I think getting good players with those second and third round picks to continue to build this roster is a lot more important than, you know, trading those picks away to get one more blue chipper.
That's an interesting philosophy. I think what makes it okay for me is that the Bills have 7 day 3 picks. So mm-hmm. even if they, you know, they'd still have so much capital. I just wonder about there being 10 roster spots available for all these draft picks on top of having just signed 17 unrestricted free agents.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. I tweeted it out a couple of weeks ago that that is what I think plays into not only the Bills, but a lot of teams saying, hey, we're sitting here in the fourth round. We have an extra 6th. There's a guy we like that's over 10 picks away. Let's trade up and get him because there's not enough roster space. I still think that in a vacuum, in theory, you want to make as many picks, but sometimes you just logistically can't do it. I would much rather them maybe trade one of the extra 4ths or the extra 5th and move up maybe in the second or third round to get another player inside the top 100 than trade both of those two to me and really to anyone valuable selections in the second and third round to get an extra first round pick. But again, it matters who's available. Is there a big slide for a player? Is there a wide receiver that they love that they don't think is going to be there at 40? I think in that scenario, I'd be more on board with it because again, like I said earlier, I think wide receiver is still a big need in Buffalo.
Bills traded up twice in the first round last year. They traded up for Deion Dawkins, traded up for Zay Jones.
Yep.
One thing we know, the Bills are going to move around a little bit, and they move back for Trey White. So, you know, that's I think we're going to expect some activity here. Chris, you've been a terrific guest. Make sure everyone listening, you follow Chris on Twitter. He is at Chris Trapasso. That is 2 S's in Trapasso and 1 P, at Chris Trapasso. Thanks so much for your time. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to this thing, and we'll be back again for you on Thursday. We'll have the NFL schedule will be released on Wednesday night, and so on Thursday we will react to the Bills' schedule and how it plays out and the primetime games and all the nuggets that we can draw from the schedule. So until then, thanks so much for listening to Locked On Bills.